Blog Talk Radio.
Feel me? You know? Who's that, baby? Who's that? Who's that Mo House, bro? Who's that Digi House? Kicking and talking that shit. Niggas was like, whoa. Hey.
VIP, I see you standing at the bar. I'm dapper, damn fresh, puffin' on a cigar. Douce in my cup, ace of spade in the bucket. Chillin' on ice, got a pocket full of ducats. What's your name, who you is, I'm tryin' to find out who you are. I need a designated driver, hit the keys to my car. I be getting all this money, all praise to Allah. Barn whip, drop top, you could gaze up at the stars. Check out my appearance, nothing on me from clearance. This ain't happen overnight, this is years of perseverance. The night is still young, room service at the aroma. When you high your life, you never sober. Come closer.
I've been getting all this money. I've been spending all this cash. I got one question for you.
Hey baby, let me ask you something.
When are you gonna work that ass?
Switching four lanes, I've been getting all this cash, baby, money ain't a thing. Got the roof in the trunk, I could teach you how to stunt. What you know about rolling fruit punch in the blunt? You got me tripping, I forgot to mention. Ever since an infant, I've been on that pimp shit. I've been up and down, flying in and out of town. Reminiscing how I feel to make love in the air. Life is but a dream, sometimes it ain't fair. Keep your eyes on the prize and fall in love with a square. My neck and my wrists on Times Square bright. What's the point of living life if you ain't living life, baby?
I've been getting all this money. I've been spending all this cash. I got one question for you.
Hey baby, let me ask you something.
When are you gonna work that ass?
Working for a real nigga. If he ain't got the bank, why you dealing with him? Hindsight, that's 2020. You ain't gotta look no more. I'm the one you been searching for. Straight dope, uncut. Shock him pure. Being broke is a disease. And baby, I got the cure. Live smart, die genius. Keys, they open doors. With an ass like that, the world is all yours. Hey, hey, gone working for a real nigga. Make that ad work like a 9-to-5. Hey, go on working for a real nigga. Make that air work, I'm talking overtime.
I've been getting all this money. I've been spending all this cash. I got one question for you.
Hey baby, let me ask you something.
When are you gonna work that ass?
Welcome to the Keeping It Real with Jay Sean Online Radio Podcast on this lovely Friday evening, November 12th, 2021. I'm feeling, everybody know how whatever mood I'm in, usually that's how my introduction go. But this evening, I'm going to reverse that. This evening, I'm not going to do my introduction off of my attitude or off of my my feelings, because it wouldn't be right to do that. It wouldn't be right to me. It wouldn't be right to you. It wouldn't be right to anybody. So I learned in my life that it's a 5-second rule. I don't know if many people heard of the 5-second rule, but it's a 5-second rule in life. What I mean by that is it can take you 5 seconds of your life to ruin your whole life and make one bad decision. 5 seconds. 5 seconds of your time of anger, hostility, jealousy, envy, larceny. And you can ruin the rest of your life off of 5 seconds. So today, well, right now, that's what I'm on. I'm on my 5-second rule. I took 5 seconds to get my character back intact, my demeanor, my feelings, my soul, and everything else like that, because you have to be careful in this day and age. And if there's one thing I learned in my life, you could pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. And that's a real saying right there, that you could pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. And, you know, everybody got the drunk Uncle Bob in their family. Everybody got the one crackhead in their family. Everybody got somebody in their family who talk a lot of shit and talk loud and talk shit and don't be saying nothing. Everybody got the person in their family who, when they drink, they get the bare muscles. And, you know, and that just come along with growing up in this world. It don't matter if you're black, white, blue, green, or whatever. We all have certain type of individuals in this lifetime. And some of it might be you. You know, it might be me. I might be that cousin that when I drink too much, I get bare muscles. I might be that uncle who think they know everything at times. It might be me. It could be. But it takes a smart person to realize that. It takes a smart, intelligent person to know that. And that's what I do. And that's me. I'm smart enough to know when to hold, and I'm smart enough to know when to fold. And tonight, I'm gonna fold, because this show is bigger than me. This show is bigger than it's more than just me coming out here just to talk and try to make people laugh and try to entertain people. No, it's a business. It's a brand. It's a company with my name on it. And your name is all you got. And respect. And you must remember, you have to respect people until you don't have to anymore. And that's it. That's all of it. In any walks of life, you give respect to get respect. And you respect people until you don't have to anymore. And sometimes you got to come out your bag on people. Sometimes you got to come out your bag. Sometimes you got to let people know, like, yo, I'm not the one to be pushed over and stomped on and talked about and spit on and rejected. I'm not the one. Sometimes you got to let people know, you know what I'm saying, like, can't just say and do whatever you want to do to me. And it's funny that I'm talking about that topic, because it's sort of like it's in coincidence, or I can't think of the right word now, with the show. My show is about tonight. My show is about the less fortunate, the often forgot about, the often not loved, less affectionate, My show is about the people that you see every day and you walk right by. Or you might see them on TV and you might turn the channel. You might see them in front of a store with a sign saying homeless. You might see them in the streets, an army vet with an army uniform on, with one leg. You might see them at the red lights at the street, at the street corners. You might see them in front of restaurants. How do you look at them? How do you judge them? Or can we judge them? But I'm not trying to put a homeless person with a disabled person. I'm not trying to say that's one of the same, because that's far from the same thing. A homeless person, that's a whole nother subject we on. A person begging for money for drugs, that's a whole nother subject we on. Today, we're here to introduce the world to the world of the disabled people. Handicapped, as someone might say, challenged, some of the other words. I can't, well, you get the point. Today's show is about bringing my listeners, I want to bring you in to the life of a disabled person. You know the old saying, you done heard me say it a million times, every day we worry about pimples and ingrown toenails and my nose too big, my forehead is too big, or my hair is too nappy, or, you know, I got big eyes, little lips, big feet. But what about waking up disabled? What about waking up and you don't have use of your legs? What about waking up and you don't got use of your arms? What about if you wake up and you couldn't hear anymore? What about if you woke up and you couldn't see anymore? What about if you woke up and you was all of a sudden, suddenly, you lost one of the five physical senses that everybody got that we use every day in this world? Now, what about if you was born like that? What about if you was born with multiple sclerosis? What about if you was born with leukemia? What about if you was born with sickle cell anemia? What about if you was born with muscular dystrophy? See, people, we don't know how lucky we are. My mother used to tell me that. You don't know how lucky you are. You should thank God every day that you're able to get up and you got your freedom and you're able to go to work or play with your kids or watch TV, tell somebody you love them, have sex, cuddle, because we take a lot of things for granted. And that's what this show is about tonight. The show tonight is about the world of the disabled. And it's a far cry from what my show is usually about. Strippers, prisoners, dancers, male dancers, cheaters, rappers. It's a far cry from that. My show tonight is about bringing you into and making you aware and educating you on just one evening of being handicapped. Just one evening, 2 hours. And by the time I bring my guests on, it won't even be 2 hours. It'll be an hour and a half. So everybody who's listening to this show tonight, everybody who on here, even me, we all gonna pretend that we disabled for an hour and a half. Really, you could pick the choice of what you want. If you want to be deaf, which you can't because you got to listen to me. If you want to be blind, if you want to be confined to a wheelchair, if you want to be in pain, we all gonna synchronize our minds. And I'm gonna do it too. I'm gonna pick one of them too. One of the disabilities. And that way, some kind of way, my guest is coming on. We might just get to feel like he feel for an hour and a half, because we don't never think about that. What do you think about when you see a person in a wheelchair and they need help going in a store? What do you think about when you see a blind person walking down the street? What do you think about when you see somebody doing sign language because they can't talk or they can't hear? And ladies, if you're pregnant or if you had children, how would your life have been if your child was born and couldn't talk? If your child was born and they couldn't hear, they couldn't see, how would you feel if your child was born with a bone weakening disease called muscular dystrophy? Or men, gentlemen, how would you feel if your child was born and they told you that he only had or she only had 5 years to live? How would you feel? I know how I would feel. I would feel terrible. I would feel devastated. I wouldn't be sure how to go on or move on or what to do or how to do it. And a lot of people don't. And a lot of people run from the situations. I know somebody right now who had twins, and one was born completely healthy and the other one was born with, I think it's autism or something like that, but he can't talk. And he told me, so I could tell the story because I'm not saying his name or anything, and he told me he really didn't know how to deal with it. He really didn't understand it. So he shied away. Because you have to be strong. You have to be strong to raise a handicapped child. Strong. Knowing that all the love you've given them, all the care you've given them, all the affection, everything you've given, but you can't give them the one thing that they lack in, the ability to walk, the ability to see, the ability to talk, or maybe they just was born paralyzed or disfigured. Yeah, I know how I'm talking, and I'm trying to on purpose, because I want everybody to understand where I'm going with this. I want everybody to understand what I'm trying to make them feel, what I'm trying to make them see. So when I bring my guests out here, you'll be able to relate to it somewhat, just a little bit, for just a couple of minutes. Then you will see how rare. Then you will see how unique. Then you will see how extraordinary. And then you will see how you would never see it before in this lifetime. You would never meet another gentleman like this. And I don't have to toot anybody horns and sound no alarms, because the proof is in the pudding. the guy that I'm bringing on. Everybody, a lot of people know him. Close friend of mine. Given 5 years to live. Born with muscular dystrophy. Confined to a wheelchair since the age of 12. If I'm not mistaken, I get that confused sometimes. 5 or 12. In a coma for a month. Not being able to speak for 4 years. Waking up out the coma with a tracheotomy in his throat. And now being well in his 40s. See, so you can't say God ain't real. God is real. And you have to believe that. And maybe that's what kept him around so long. I know that, but he'll have to tell you that for himself. And everybody know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Andre Williams. Thing that happened because I didn't have a guest this week. I'm booked up all the way until the end of the year with guests. But I was supposed to have a guest this week, but something happened and we got the times screwed up. And the dates, and she wasn't able to come. So I told Dre behind the scenes, I said, yo, I might cancel the show Friday. You know what I mean? I haven't took a Friday off in a while. I might take this Friday off. I don't got nobody to interview. I could do the show myself because everybody know I love to talk, but I'd rather have a guest. And he said, interview me. And a light bulb went off in my head. It was almost like an epiphany of when I first met him. And he told me to write, can I write his life story? It was like an epiphany, like shit happened like 8 years ago. It was like happening all over again. He was like, interview me. I was like, man, that's a good idea. But what about if they can't understand what you're saying? He said, I'm going to get a house phone. Okay, if that makes it sound better, he said, I'm going to drink some tea, too. I said, okay. And then we talked today. He said, I didn't get the house phone. I said, okay. We'll just talk slow and drink a lot of tea. And whatever people don't understand, I'll repeat it for them. But whatever, we're going to get through it, and we're going to make this happen. Just me and you and all my listeners. And it don't matter how many people out there on the links and how many people call in. Because, see, this show, you can listen to it tomorrow. You can listen to it next week. You can listen to it next month because it's in the arcade, archives. So we're going to do this show like it's 1,000 people listening. Whether it's 5, 10, 15, or 20, I don't really care because I do it from the heart. And this is a show I'm doing from the heart. And when I put it in the bio and the synopsis, I said it's going to be the most sensitive, heartfelt, caring interview. And it still might be, you know what I say, keeping it real, and it gets too real. It might get too real for some people. And some people might wonder, why are you asking them that question? Why would you ask them that? Or why do you talk about that? Why would you talk about that? Because there's no sleeves, no holes barred. We here to shine the light on the injustice that's going on with the handicapped people. We here to shine the light on the Disability Discrimination Act. We here to change the mind of people every day that got a elderly grandmother at their house, or somebody in their house that's sick right now, or their sister who got autism, or their brother who might have sickle cell, or somebody losing their hearing, or somebody losing their sight. We doing this show for everybody. And we're going to make them aware right here on this show. That's what we're going to do. And everybody should be listening to it because everybody knows somebody that's disabled. I know I do. Andre ain't the only person I know that's disabled. Andre ain't the only person I know in a wheelchair. Somebody text me and said, you making me cry. Well, damn it, get some Kleenex because we just getting started here. We just getting started here. What time? It's about 8:25. I swear I love Fridays when I do my podcast. I really do. I love Fridays and I love doing this podcast. I got other podcasts on this line, a Saturday night show that Forrest do. I do the sports show on Sunday morning. I do another great show on Tuesday that people need to tune into, also called The Point of Impact. And we got some good shows on this label. We do. We really got some good shows on it. And we all support each other. That's what make us strong. Because divided we stand. I mean, would they say divided we stand? To get together we stand, divided we fall. We can do more together than we can apart. And that's what I'm about. So I'm going to see if I'm going to see if my man Dre is on the line. Let me see. I hope I didn't forget anything. And I'm real proud of myself because who would know 5 minutes, who would know 20 minutes before this show, I almost got into a physical altercation with my nephew. I mean, a real knockdown fight in the street 20 minutes before this show started. And I had to take the 5-second rule and say, calm down and let's do this show. I got liquor I'm not drinking. I'm drinking water and green tea because I don't want to drink liquor and intensify anything that doesn't need to be intensified. And then I wind up after this show going to get into something that I don't need to get into. And it turns into something that it shouldn't turn into. Over nothing. But you know how that is. That's just hood, ghetto, Negro shit. It's 8:28, y'all. What's going on? Listen, tonight we're going to talk about, we're going to bring Andre Williams in here. We're going to talk about his book. We're going to talk about the movies he's been in. We're going to talk about the music he's done. We're going to talk about him growing up in the projects. We're going to talk about his disability. We're going to talk about it, his relationships. We're going to talk about we're just going to go hard for an hour and a half. And if somebody want to say something, press 1. Don't be shy. If you want a link, you can't do it. But if you called in and you want to make a comment and you want to speak to Dre, you want to speak to me, or if you want to make a donation, that's the main thing. Press 1, donate something. You know what I'm saying? We need that handicap van so we can get around. Not to buy one, to rent it. We need the handicap van to rent it. So our goal is not that high right now. I think we're trying to get about $75 more for this van for the weekend. For one day. To get this handicap van. So without holding you up more, we're gonna go to a song. And I'm gonna see if Dre behind the scenes. We're gonna come right back and we're gonna start this show. So everybody sit tight, get something to drink, some popcorn, some weed, I don't know, whatever you sipping on. A smoothie, a shot of tequila, some Coors Light, some beer, or if you get your plate, whatever, peanuts, whatever you want to do, get it, because we got a hell of a show. Trust me, we got a hell of a show. Call somebody, tell a friend, tell them, yo, listen, we're getting ready to have a good show, so we all could be out here, and we could just give them a lot of love and all the attention and respect that he deserves. Because it take a lot to come out here and do. It take a lot to come out here and air out your business like that. It's not easy. Everybody not an open book like me. See, I'm an open book. I put my whole life story in a book, so, and it wasn't hard because, you know, me, I don't got nothing to hide. With me, you get what you see what you get. I walk the walk, I talk the talk, and that's it. And I don't lie and I don't steal. And let me see what we gonna listen to. Listen, everybody, go to the most requested song on my list. Love Games. This is the most requested song on my show. Love Games. We're gonna take a break and we're gonna go to play this song and we'll be right back with the Keeping It Real with Jay Sean Online Radio Podcast. Don't go nowhere.
Shout out Young Swiss.
I'm down on one knee, I hope you need a tissue. Do you save me for eternity? And make a pinky promise that you'll never leave. Even when you're mad at me, just don't up and leave. The future's scary, I don't wanna see. My life without you will be a tragedy. When I wake up in the mornings, you won't wanna see. I'm sorry, babe, there's so much that I wanna say. First, let me ask you, will you marry me?
Oh my God, I'm seriously about to cry right now. Are you serious?
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do.
Okay, all right, that's my favorite joint right there. I love you, I do. I can't remember the name of the person who made the show. They from Atlanta though. But big ups. That record should be played in rotation. Hot 97, 105, and WBLS, man. The record is nice. A very, very, very good record. Okay, my guest is on. My guest is here. He's behind the scenes. I'll give him about another 2 minutes and give a couple more callers some time. I see the people out there on the line. I appreciate everybody on the line. For calling in, the people out there that clicked on the link. Thank everybody for listening to the show this evening. Like I said, I really, really love doing this show, and I do it for everybody, for the listeners. Let me see if my man is ready to come on. me see. And Mr. Williams, are you here?
Yo, yo. What's up, brother?
What's going on? What's going on? Who's that knocking at the door? Who's that ringing my bell? Do me a favor. What's going on, man? You all right?
Yeah, I'm chilling, man, you know.
You ready for this? You ready for this intense interview?
Always ready, man. I was born ready.
It's funny. It's funny with me interviewing you because every day, like 7, 8, 9 times a day, and we talk about. So me and this guy talk. Me and this guy talk about. Somebody, they say that somebody said they can hear you very good. Okay, thank you. We talk about so much on the phone. We start off early in the morning. we do the morning call like around breakfast time, and then we do the lunch time, and then we do the evening, and then we do the night time. What we find to talk about that much, I really don't know. No, I know we fine. We talk about life. We talk about relationships. We talk about money, different endeavors, different situations. We talk about everything, but what we never talk about is his disabilities. We never talk about that. So it's kind of strange that that's the topic of the show this evening. You know what I mean? It's kind of strange. I just was telling him behind the scenes that I almost had a physical confrontation before the show. He told me to sit your old ass down.
Definitely, man.
He said, sit your old ass down. That's what I'm going to do, too. I'm going to sit my old ass down. Okay. All jokes aside, man, thanks for coming on, you know what I mean? And thanks for filling in this evening because, you know, I was kind of, you know, ass out. You know what I mean? I didn't have a guest. And you offering to come on and sit on the hot seat, it really helped me out a lot because I was going to cancel the show. But thanks for you coming on. Being that this show is the title of this show is Welcome to the World of the Disabled, right? We're gonna start off from the beginning. Is that all right with you?
Yeah, perfect.
So and I told everybody that sometimes like Dre got a trach in his throat. So some of the things if I repeat something he say is because I maybe thought it came out distorted or something like that. But we're gonna get through it. We're gonna get through it. All right. How old are you now?
44.
I'm going to talk like I'm in a third party, like I don't know you, so.
Thank you.
You're 44 years old. Where were you born at?
I was born in Paterson, New Jersey, St. Joseph Hospital.
Okay, you St. Joseph Hospital in Paterson, New Jersey. So what year was that?
Man. That was back in the Woodstock days, 1976.
1976. Wow. 1976. I was 12 years old in love with baseball and ice cream and Willie Mays. I remember that year, 1976. I remember that year vividly. I was on a baseball team and I won the most valuable player that year. That was a good year for me. But anyway, okay, 1976. Why I really asked you what year it was because they got something called a Disability Act that was started sometime around there, and it was supposed to be something that was voted into Congress to help disabled people. Are you familiar with that?
Nah, not actually.
Okay. It was a act that was voted in by Congress. It was made to help the disabled person in the day to day living. You know what I mean? Like with certain benefits and stuff like that that was supposed to help disabled people. I have heard over time that it's not as good as it was supposed to be, but I'm assuming in 2021 that it should be much, much better. We have to look that up sometime on Google. Somebody Google the Disability Act or the Disability Act and tell me what year it was invented. But anyway, all right, so you was born in 1976. So
yeah.
As far back as you can remember when you was a young kid, you just remember being normal, like a regular kid at first?
Yeah, I was a regular kid growing up. I know I didn't crawl. I never crawled. My mom said I never crawled before. I was fit.
Oh, walking. You never crawled? You just
yeah.
went straight to walking?
Yeah.
I heard that.
I just got a little bit older, like 3 and 4, I could fall down a lot.
So
people used to tell my mother, oh, he's a boy, you know? He's a boy. Boys fall, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember I wrote that in the book, that you said that around 3 and 3 years old, 4, you just used to fall all the time. But back in them days, like the parents and stuff like that, you said they was telling your mother, oh, he's just a boy and stuff like that. So he just falling down because he's a boy.
Right,
so it was like
right,
kind of
right.
like you was off balance. You was off balance and stuff like that.
Right. So, I think my knees are getting weaker. Like my knees are weak. You know, things like that. You know, at that age, you're supposed to be getting stronger and stronger instead of weaker and weaker,
right.
You know?
Oh, you was getting weaker and weaker at that age, like 4, 5 and all that. You was getting weaker at that time. But you didn't know it, or did you know it? You couldn't tell at 5, could you?
I mean, no, of course not. It's like, for me, that was just normal life. You know, I really seen... You know, I've seen other kids running and doing things, but I was doing the same thing, you know? I mean, I wasn't climbing, but I was walking, you know?
Yeah. So then, okay, so after that, so that's about 5. So take us on a little bit more to, take us on to maybe when you first heard the word muscular dystrophy.
Basically, to go back a little bit, you know, they was telling my mother, you know, that, you know, he's a boy and things like that, but, you know, a mother's intuition, a mother knows her child, you know?
Yeah.
So, once she took me to the hospital, to a doctor, actually, and, they told her, well, let's, you know, do surgery on him, biopsy, and find out, you know, what's going on. So once we
right.
did the biopsy, they told my mother I had muscular dystrophy. You know, and
oh,
I didn't understand what it meant. All I know is he just cried a lot. He just cried a lot. Yeah, I understand why.
Who, you or your mother?
My mom.
Oh, your mom's used to cry a lot.
Yeah, I never understood why. Cause I don't know what muscular dystrophy is, you know? What's that?
Yeah.
Why are you crying?
Yeah.
I'm okay. I'm not hurting. You know, I'm not sick. How you crying?
Right. So, okay, so you noticed that you went to the hospital, they did a biopsy, you found out they told your mother that you had muscular dystrophy. But I'm assuming at that time that maybe she wasn't even aware what that was, right? Because Is that really a black person disease, or is that a white person disease, or is just anybody could get it? Because I heard it's like a disease that skips every 10 generations or something like that.
It's not racist.
Huh?
A disability is not racist. It affects anybody.
No, I'm talking about muscular dystrophy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Some disabilities and diseases are, you know, like high blood pressure attack more black people than white people. I'm not being racist. I'm just, you know.
No. I'm saying that the muscular dystrophy is not like. I'm just basically saying that it attacks anybody. It already.
Oh, muscular dystrophy can attack anybody. Okay.
Yeah.
But look, okay. So look, once they told your mother that you had that, right? What was now? I know you didn't know when you was young, but now that you're older, you could explain to the listeners what was the plan supposed to be? Was the plan supposed to be, okay, he got muscular dystrophy, we gonna give him vitamin shots, or he got muscular dystrophy, we gonna give him blood plasma to make him better, or what was the plan? Or was the plan just was like, he got muscular dystrophy, he won't be here after 12 years. Like, what was the plan after you found out, or your family found out?
Once they explained to her what muscular dystrophy was, if you Google and go to the study, the average person at that time, and you're talking about the 80s, man. I mean, technology wasn't really where it is right now at that time. You know what I mean? So you're trying to have muscular dystrophy, and you know, her question was, "Well, is he okay?" He said, "Well, you know." May be okay for about 12, because you know your muscle, it attacks your muscle. So
right,
your body is still the muscle. Your heart is a muscle.
Right.
You know what I mean? So basically, my heart was supposed to get out by 12 years old.
Oh, your heart was supposed to give out, because I know muscular dystrophy is a disease that weakens your muscles. I know that.
Yeah.
So your heart was supposed to give out by 12 years old. So if your heart was supposed to give out by 12 and you 40 and you 44, then how do you explain that? Are you a miracle child, or have the doctors ever give you a reason why? It didn't happen by 12.
No. I mean, no, not really. To be honest with you, I think God to me. You know what I mean? Yeah, I think God. I want to say I'm a myth. I will say I'm a miracle child, but there are other people that actually live to, you know, 30 or 40. I'm not like, it's not a high number of people that live that long, but it's a little, you know, that live that.
So, dude, so have you known people that have muscular dystrophy other than you? Have you had friends and people you met at times and stuff like that?
I only met one other person that had muscular dystrophy.
In your whole life?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what happened to them? They still alive?
The last time I checked, yeah, he's fine. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. So.
A few years younger than me.
So let's go to once the disease really attacked you, and because you walked up until you was 12 years old, you walked, right? You was walking like a normal person.
I was going to end up here at 11, 10 or 11. I'm going in and out of here. Any chair out here.
Oh, so by, you was going in and out the wheelchair 10 and 11, and by the time you was 12, you was permanently in the chair?
So, no. I had lost my grandfather. My grandfather died when I was about 11, 11 and a half, something like that.
Yeah.
And that really affected me because me and him was like really, really close.
Right.
And all I remember is going to his funeral, and I collapsed at his casket. And I want to say my stepfather, but my mom's boyfriend hit me up and he carried me out to church. And that's the last time I walked.
That was the last time you ever walked.
Yeah.
That was the last time you ever walked.
I got sick. And I went to the hospital. And my mom took me to the ER. I could only get sick. I only catch pneumonia around November. Like every year, I get pneumonia. And I remember talking to her and telling her, don't cry. Don't give up on me. I'll be back. And I fit into a coma. And I was in a coma for a while.
You was in a coma like for a month, right?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Damn. So, okay. So, we're going to fast forward out of that because, see, I know the whole story about them, your family praying for you and never leaving your side for the whole month and all that. And then you coming out the coma and you winding up.
And then you woke up
at, out of the coma. You had the trach in your throat.
Yeah.
And what actually is that trach supposed to do? You know, far as your life, keeping your life. What is the trach in your throat supposed to do? Because it's actually like you actually got a hole in your throat, right?
Yes.
And then it's a tube or something that goes in there.
Yeah.
And okay, so what is that exactly supposed to do for you?
Basically, at the time, like I told you, every year I would get sick. With pneumonia.
Wow.
And I'll have to connect to a ventilator. If you guys are familiar, your ventilator, it goes in your nose, in your mouth, you know, and things like that. While I was in a coma, the doctor explained to my mother, you know, it would be a good idea to get him a tracheotomy because it would give him a third air pipe.
It was a hard decision.
Yeah, it was really hard for her. Mind you, my mom is only, what, 19? Like, 20? No, she had to be 13. So at that time, she's like 24.
Yeah.
She's a baby.
That was hard for somebody that young to make those decisions.
Right. Right.
Because your mother was young when she had you, right?
Yeah, 13.
She was 13. Wow. All right, this is something I always wanted to ask you. Did you ever think that the age of your mother having you at that young age had anything to do with you having muscular dystrophy?
No. No.
Have anybody in your family other than you from other generations had muscular dystrophy?
Not that I know of, but I did some research a while back, and they said it was handed down from my grandmother. My grandmother had it.
Oh, so it was passed down.
Yeah.
Cause I heard it skips on what they said every other generation or something like that.
Yeah,
something like that. All right, so then your mother gave the okay and they gave you the trait. You came out of the coma, but then you still had another problem. You wasn't able to talk for several years, right?
So how was that time
in your life living and not being able to talk, going from being able to talk to not being able to talk?
Don't get me wrong. I was disabled at a young age, but the boy always had nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I always been Andre, but, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
So I got sick with the coma. Man, that was hard because all the friends I had was gone. You know, there's only two people that actually stayed, and that's Richard and Wally.
Wow.
And
they stayed with you until you started. So do you remember the first time you talked after 4 years not being able to talk? What happened? What happened? Your voice just came? You just said something? Or was it something the doctor telling you was going to happen with progress? Or how did that happen that you was able to start talking again after 4 years?
As I said, when I had got the tracheotomy, my mom had thought maybe they touched my vocal cord or something like that. So it was like impossible why I'm not talking.
Okay.
One day, say this real quick. When you have a tracheotomy, you have to change the tracheotomy every month and put a new one inside.
You got to clean it every day?
No, you got to take it out and put a new one. You can't keep the same one.
You got to take out the white thing and put another one in?
Yes.
Every day?
Every month.
Every month.
Yeah. So, at that time, the one that I used every month, I didn't have anymore. My mom had to use the one that I didn't like. It wasn't comfortable for me. And she used it, and you just told me, you know, get used to it, you'll be okay, blah, 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 blah. So, coming back further, I was laying down one day, and she was in the kitchen, and I don't know, just something told me, I just put my finger over the hole, and
uh-huh.
I said,
You said what?
I put my finger over the hole. I said,
okay.
Like that.
Yeah.
Okay. bugging right now because I never thought to put my finger over the hole and try to say something, you know?
Yeah.
So, now I'm cooking. I'm like, Vicky, what's your cooking? So she turned around. Like, who said that? And from that day, I started talking. She was so happy, man. She started crying. I mean, the same way I've seen her cry when she found out I had a looking difficulty.
Yeah.
It was only the same way I've seen her cry when she heard my first words again.
Wow. See,
so the only thing different is that this time for the tears of joy.
Wow. I know that was like an amazing moment in your life to not talk for so long and then to talk again. You know what I mean? That had to be an amazing moment. All right, look.
The first thing,
so we gonna, we
the first thing I did, and say it real quick, and I'll give Ronnie his respect, you know? This young kid used to talk to me on the phone for hours. The same way you were explaining to people how me and you talk, for me and Raleigh used to stay on the phone all day long talking. And the only thing I can say is for no and for yes. That's it. He'll ask you a question, I'll say for no. So yes, and he would talk to me for hours. So the first thing I did,
wow.
So I called his house, said, hello, Warrior. And his mom was like, who's this? I was like, Andre. Said, no, it's not. Andre can't talk. I said, I can now.
Okay, so then you begin talking, right?
Yeah.
I know that had to be a big moment in your life. So you was talking, you had a trach in your throat, but you were still confined to a wheelchair, right? And at that time, you didn't have a power chair, right? You had a chair, you had to roll, right?
Yeah.
Or did you had a chair that you could roll? Was you able to roll the chair yourself, or you was only able to go when somebody was able to push you?
I wouldn't say no, like, I'm going to the store and take that, you know what I'm saying? But,
yeah,
I could go downstairs in front of the house, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I roll myself down to a corner and just sit there. So, you know, you take a long time to get there, but I'll do it, you know? I kept trying.
Oh, okay.
I kept trying to get from the house of coffee.
And these is all, this is all your teenage years, though. This is your teenage years.
Yeah.
So now you're getting more and more and more. I understand you're getting more and more. Now you got the wheelchair. You got your friends. Now you're able to talk again. Still wasn't able to walk. So,
yeah.
Did you ever really feel like to the point of depression, where like maybe you didn't want to live anymore? You know, because you're young and you're seeing everybody doing a lot of things and you're not able to do them. Because I know it was if you're a teenager, it's time to start dating and everything, and Did you ever allow yourself to get to that state of depression where, you know, you felt like you didn't want to live anymore, or you was mad with God or something like that?
I don't know about other people, but my circle was so, how would you say it, was so,
strong.
My circle took so much care in me that it was kind of hard for me to see to that what I was getting ahead.
Right.
You know, Wally's my best friend. You know, he was there for me. He was 8 years old. He's been there for me. Yeah, I mean, I used to call the chat line. I should call the chat line.
We're going to get there.
No, no, I'm just saying. I should call the chat line in my team. So, yeah. That was like, it gave me a life outside my life.
Right.
I always kept myself like, outside.
That was like the chat line was like, I call that like rent a pal, rent a friend. You know what I mean? Rent a friend or something like that, like them chat lines. But anyway, okay.
I had to phone the house at night. You know, it's a great day. So I'm sorry, you know?
Yeah. So let's move a little bit more up because I know as you grow up and you're becoming a teen and now you're becoming a young man. So I know now you got to be looking at different things differently. Like, I know you said something about trying marijuana and wanting to try to date girls and stuff like that. How hard was that for you to, I know it probably wasn't hard for you to fall in love, but how hard was it hard for you to get a woman to fall in love with you back then? Or a girl to be attracted to you back then?
At that time, I never had a girlfriend. I would say, like, outside of the telephone.
Right.
You know, I would have long-distance girlfriend over the phone.
Oh, yeah, telephone love.
Yeah. And that was okay with me. Because I didn't know too much. You know what I'm saying? So that is normal. You got a girlfriend? Yeah, it's just all normal. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
You know, all that. So that was cool. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I had, you know, once I got sick, I had to go to a separate school. Yeah, Sarah Pauli Center High School.
Yeah.
That's the other disabled kid.
Okay.
So I had met this man, teacher. He's a teacher at the school. And actually, he changed my life because he introduced me to the mall.
The mall?
This man,
the mall, the shopping mall?
Yeah, this man used to take time out his weekend to come to Patterson, pick me up at a friend of mine. He drives us to the mall and gives us about $25 in coins. Let me and my friend go to our page. I don't know if people are familiar with Roosevelt Mall. Roosevelt Mall used to have an arcade.
Yeah.
And we'll go there, he'll leave, he'll pick us up in about 2 hours, go to a movie, and then take us home. And he did this almost every weekend.
Wow.
Yeah,
and
now that I think about it, that gave me the confidence to be out in public.
Oh, okay. That was like my next questions was going to be to let the listeners know, because I know some people could be cruel, you know what I mean? Have you been in a lot of cruel situations with other kids? Bullying you or whatever.
My mom took that early.
Your mother?
My mom took early, man. She killed that early. Our age of,
What you mean?
Our age is 6 years old.
Yeah.
The only word I really knew.
Yeah.
I still got reference on it. But my mom taught me to say, what the fuck are you looking at?
Your mother told you whenever people stare at you to say, what the fuck you looking at?
She didn't care who it was. Little kids, adults, you did not pick. I did not say it, I was just smacking on that.
What the fuck are you looking at?
Yes.
What the fuck are you looking at?
Yes.
Oh, man. So would that mean that kids were cruel, right?
They stared a lot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they said.
But look, even with that being said, right? Let me ask you this: even with that being said, right? With the people staring a lot, because this might help people too out here, you know, in the world. What would be some of the things, or one of the things that you would want people to know about somebody that's disabled? Because I know, you know, a lot of times you disabled and you be outside with your books and everything. And I know we have talked about how you said how people might look at you strange or not pay attention to you, or they want to always act like you need, like you might try to sell them a book, but they might drop some change on you and stuff like that. What is one, if you could tell people in the world one thing, what would you tell them that might change their mind on how they feel about somebody disabled?
Don't judge a book by its cover. That's old. Everyone heard that already? But it's so true.
Judge a book by the cover?
Yes. What you think ain't always what you think. What you think ain't always what you see. What you see ain't always what you think.
So you mean by you saying that, you want them to be sympathetic to you? You want people to be more kind, more sympathetic. You want people to see you as they see everybody else. And not just look beyond the wheelchair.
Yeah, I wouldn't say sympathetic, though. I would say fit it normal. I mean, just fit it ordinary. Like, if I'm at work and selling a book, they got lost face on it. I'm not hungry, sir.
Right.
You know? I know
you told me like a lot of times how people make you feel when they look at you and they looking at you like, you know, like you different from everybody else or you know what I mean? And because I know firsthand what it do to you when people judge you, when they look at you, you know, like you not human. You know what I mean? Like you don't belong. You know what I mean? What would you want people to do?
A lot of people are very educated when it comes to disabled people. Because
right.
These are what they see OJ scene in your life. And, you know, it's kind of hard because, you know, I'm not putting the whole horn, but you're not going to find a lot of Andre Williams out there. You know, you're not going to find a lot of me out there. There's not a lot. So, when you meet someone, you really have to get to know the person that you're seeing. But if you don't, then you basically need to ask that person.
Yeah. You rare. You are a different. Yeah. You are a whole different person. Your life and everything. That's why I always tell people like you gotta read his life story in a book. It's like you would never understand the things this man have done. Or I mean, because look, you got 5 children, right?
Yeah.
And. How worried were you about, I know that had to be a big thing on your mind to wonder, would any of them be born with muscular dystrophy? So how does something like that feel, knowing that you got 5 children that's all like healthy and weren't born with muscular dystrophy? Or were you afraid? Were you afraid of that?
To be honest with you, bro.
Yeah.
Once God brought me back from that coma and gave me a second chance at life,
right.
I became very conceited.
Mm.
And, you know what I'm saying? Right.
Yeah, you knew you was more like God's child.
Yeah, like he did that. He can do anything. Like,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he did that. He can do anything. So I don't think I even thought about my kids possibly being disabled or nothing like that. I mean, I just felt like I was in a relationship and I was happy and you love each other and you just had a baby. I mean, I don't know about them being disabled or anything. I think if I didn't think about that, I probably wouldn't have had kids.
Right. Because, you know, a lot of people probably, I would even wonder that. Like, if something was wrong with me, I would probably wonder if I would be afraid, like, that if my kid would be, you know, would be born with it, you know what I mean? Like, that would weigh heavy, like, very heavy on my mind. Like, I wonder if my child going to be born, you know what I mean, with the same thing that I'm born with or something like that. What are some of the things that you wish that you could change about the world as far as how, you know, it is with people that's disabled? Do you wish they had more education programs or more as transportation assistance, more homemakers, or is it easy, more help with living situations? If it's something that you could think of off the top of the head, what do you think that the government should really help more with disabled people?
Qualifications. Right. Yes, if you need something. If you know that this person is disabled, right?
Right.
And he uses a wheelchair, okay? It should be a certain level of the person, like, it should be a certain level where you know this man needs it. I should not have to submit a form and wait to see if you going to qualify you to get the service or not get the service every year. You cannot have to renew
something. So they put you, just because you're disabled, what you mean is it doesn't speed your progress up for, like, if you're doing an application for assistance or a loan for something or anything like that that's, like, government-assisted. Being disabled, it doesn't give you, like, put you on the front top of the list or to the front of the line.
I'm not asking to be in front of anybody. I'm asking you is, if I need a new wheelchair, because my wheelchair doesn't work, broken down, or my battery's dead, I should not have to go to the doctor, get a prescription, give it to you. You go to the insurance, ask the insurance, hey, who needs a new wheelchair? Can we get someone? Okay, yes, we'll pay it. Okay, now you order it. What about that person that has an everyday life that needs that chair to go to the doctor, or that needs that chair to go to the chair, or needs that chair to basically live an everyday life? What is he supposed to do? Are you filling out all the paperwork for what?
You've been through situations like that where they drag their feet.
Last year, or the year before that, it's the same person. Nothing changes.
Wow, that's a shame. And you said the same person every year, and it's her job.
Yeah,
and it's her job that it's her job to help disabled people.
I'm saying, look, let's say you're in a wheelchair, okay? Your leg is off. You cut your leg off. There ain't no possibility you're ever going to walk again, okay?
Right.
But your wheelchair breaks down.
Right.
Okay, so you're not going to be able to walk again. So why do you have to qualify for another wheelchair?
Yeah, it don't make sense.
Right.
Stuff like that should be at the top. I think stuff like that should be at the top of the totem pole when it comes to situations like that. Because don't you have a machine that breathes for you sometime or helps you breathe or something like that that helps you live?
Yeah, I have a ventilator that I supposed to be on at night to help.
Ventilator. What you mean? What you mean? You supposed to be on at night?
I don't use it every single night, but you know,
Oh, okay. That sound like a that got kind of scary for a minute. A ventilator, you don't use it every night. You know what I mean? It definitely do. So, you know what we're going to do? We're going to play a song, and we're going to come back. I got a couple of more questions to ask you about, like, relationships, love, you know, what you're doing right now, where you see yourself in 5 years, and we don't want nothing to happen to you, but today everybody got an expiration date. Everybody got a number when they're leaving this earth, not just you, me, and everybody. How do you want to be remembered? But hold all that. We're gonna come back, and I'm going to ask you those questions, and then we're going to try to do a little bit of Q&A if somebody want to call in and talk to you or ask you a question. So just stay tuned with me. Everybody, thank you. Everybody that's on the lines and everybody on the link. I appreciate you for tuning in. Please don't leave. We got another about 30 minutes of this interview with Andre Williams. We want to tell you about his book, where you can buy the book from. We still got to talk about some of the movies he's been in. We still got a lot more, so don't go nowhere. We'll be right back after this break. We'll be right back in about 2.5 minutes, we'll be right back to Keeping It Real with Jay Sean Online Radio Podcast.
All right, Beth. Yeah. Walk with me.
take a walk with me, grab my hand. Let me school you, little bro, make you understand. You gotta run the streets to become a man. Just stay in your own lane, you could buy some land. I see the fire in your eyes. Don't fall into the trap, in the trap you can die. So many soldiers stand down in the sky. Pay attention to the vibe, that's what's keeping you alive. Have patience, just talk to me. Get out of line, you get chalked for free. I won't let you fall if it's up to me. And they say misery like companies. Don't let them put you down on companies. You know I got your back, you look up to me. It's okay to show love, but cautiously. It's okay for men to cry, but not normally. Let's start.
Yeah. Walk with me. Walk with me.
Just relax, nigga, take a seat. You be acting all hard, you ain't from the street. Got a good family and somewhere to sleep. Nigga, I was house to house with nowhere to eat. I don't get you niggas, these shoes can't fit you niggas. You can play it off, looking in your eyes, see you mask off. Pretending to be a G until they pull your card. Yo, you still young, don't take the road where I came from, ain't nothing there. Couple of holes, a sippin' beer. Switching up, hoes with the pole, ain't playing fair. Get up off that circle, you ain't earning shit with them squares. Before you get caught up and then have to take it there. Find a sense of tingling, feeling all in the air. And keep God close with the post and make a prayer.
Yo, this record for all your loved ones, man. Don't ever steer them in the wrong direction. Being real is a form of respect. Respect yourself.
Let's go, man. Being real, being genuine. Yourself.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Keeping It Real with Jay Sean Online Radio Podcast. We still here with our host, the man, the myth, the hip hop producer, rapper, computer wizard, songwriter, and inspiring artist, Andre on the phone. So you still with me, Dre?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, all right, okay. We're gonna move up a little bit right now, you know what I mean? And we're gonna talk about relationships for a minute. I know you've been in quite a few relationships, and have you ever dated somebody that was disabled? Not really.
No, not really, man. I mean,
the people you date. You date people that don't have disabilities and is not have any, like, you know, ongoing situation. You dealt people with this, like, with their five physical senses and nothing wrong, right?
Yeah.
If you don't mind me asking, why is that? Why wouldn't you date somebody disabled?
You had daddy,
you got the kids with you.
I asked you,
did you ever date or was in a relationship with somebody with a disability? And you said, not really. And I asked you, why not?
I don't see how you answer for that.
You're not discriminating against people that are disabled, like the people that you say discriminate against you, are you?
Nah, okay.
Then why won't you date somebody that's disabled?
Um,
I got you with that one. I got you with that one, huh? Yeah, that one was coming. Because you know what I'm saying that is because a lot of people like to, they like to say, like you might say, oh, I don't like the way people look at me when I'm in a chair. Or I don't like the way they treat me because I'm disabled. But then you tell me you never dated nobody disabled. And then I ask you why, but you don't know why. But maybe you really do know why, but you don't. You didn't just didn't answer yet. So you got the floor. You got
it.
On your plate. All right, we'll come back to that. We'll come back to that one in a minute. Because you can date whoever you want. It's your prerogative. Ain't nobody business. I just thought I'd ease that one in on you. So the relationships you've been in, right? I'm sure you've been in love before because you got 5 children by 4 different baby mothers. So I'm sure you've been in love before. I'm sure you've been in serious relationships before. Mm-hmm. And when you go into a relationship then with somebody who's not disabled, right? And this question might sound a little tacky or, but I gotta ask these questions because that's why I'm the interviewer. Do you ever feel like somebody, you know, I'm gonna say regular, but that's not a good word for like a normal woman or a regular woman. Do you ever feel like that somebody could give you the love that you really need, knowing that you're disabled, or do sometimes you feel like it might have been like a feel sorry thing, or you love them more than they loved you, or it was a sympathy thing?
No, I've never felt that before. I haven't felt that before. I mean, if we go to my baby mom, I don't think there's enough sympathy in the world to lay on the table and have a baby.
You don't think what?
If you have sympathy in the world to lay down and have a baby.
Oh, I thought you said something else. You said it's not enough sympathy in the world to make her lay down and have a baby. I thought you said something else. Well, yeah, that's true, too. That's true, too. I guess if she laid down and y'all conceived the baby, I guess it had to be some feelings involved.
Yeah,
and then, so look, the relationships you've been in, let's just go down the line. You got 4 different baby mothers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your first baby mother, how many years was you with her?
4 years.
The second baby mother?
3 years.
3 years. The third baby mother?
3 years. 3.
And the fourth baby mother?
10 years.
10 years? Oh, well, hey.
Yeah.
I guess that answered the question then. You know what I mean? I guess that answered the question. You know what I mean? Because you know what I always say. If you got a pet and you got them around for 4 or 5 years, you're gonna get feelings for them. So, you answer my question. I guess you have feelings for them, and I'm not making you equivalent to a pet. I'm just saying, you know what I mean? Like if you're around somebody that long, it got to be something. It got to be more than just lust, or it got to be more than somebody just trying to take advantage of somebody. It got to be something. It got to be something more than that. I believe that was real.
The thing my mom taught me about the word, what the fuck you looking at, my grandmother took control of my adulthood. Because
oh, okay.
She used to tell me, Andre, I know you ain't paying for cookies.
What you wait a minute, wait a minute. Your grandmother used to say that she know you ain't paying for pussy.
Yeah. This girl wants some money, buddy. So, at the time, I didn't understand, you know, what she was saying. I'm like, no, that's why I ain't paying for pussy. You know what I mean? I'm sorry for you. You know what I mean?
Grandma wasn't playing. Grandma wasn't playing. She ain't want to raise no suckers.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah, go ahead. Talk slow. Well, go ahead.
That was a psychological.
Yeah.
Like, it worked for my psychology because as soon as I meet a woman, what's the first thing I'm thinking about?
You don't want to be taken advantage of.
You know what I'm saying? So she kept me on point like that.
Yeah. Okay, did you have women that tried in your life that tried to use you for money?
You know what? People are gonna say no, but being the man that lived this life, I'm gonna say no because something about joy. Okay. Is that if you actually sit down with him and you give him that time, he's going to get you. He's going to get you.
I believe that. Look how long we've been friends. look how long we've been friends. And we met. I was doing a book signing down in Paterson, New Jersey. I always tell the story, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but I was doing a book signing, and Dre came up to me in his wheelchair, and I believe he bought my book first. He bought a book. He had some game. He bought a book, and after he bought the book and I signed it, he just asked me. He said, would you write my life story? Or could you write my life story? Or how much would you charge me? Something like that along that line. So I was one of them people who looked at disabled people but didn't look, who saw but didn't saw, who feel but didn't feel. So I'm downtown Paterson, I'm selling my books, you know, that's my town. You know what I mean? I'm probably geared up, you know, looking good and all that shit. And I looked over at him to my right, and I see him in a wheelchair, and he's asking me about writing his life story. And I can remember it like it's yesterday because I remember I said to him, I said, what have you done? You know, that, you know, warrants me writing your life story, or what kind of story are you trying to get out to the world? Because I'm looking at, you know, this guy in a wheelchair, and I'm wondering, like, what could you have done in life? You know what I mean? That's the naive thoughts that people have about disabled people. That's the ignorance that people have. And I never forget what he told me. He said that everybody got a hero. You know what I mean? He said young kids, you know, they got Michael Jordan, you know what I mean, and Mike Tyson, and, you know, everybody got that hero. But the disabled people, we don't have a hero. He was like, so I would like to tell my story so I could be that hero for other disabled people. And, you know, the first thing I wanted to say to him was, and I wanted to say, well, you know, disabled people do got a hero, you know. Blank Man. Y'all know Blank Man? You know Blank Man, Dre?
Yeah.
I'm joking. That's the movie Blank Man with Keenan Williams, Keenan and them, when he played the Blank Man. But anyway, so I looked, I'm just joking. So I looked at, so that kind of stumped me when he told me that, you know what I mean? Because he came back with something that, you know, kind of piqued my interest, because I always wanted to write a book about somebody, a lesbian. And I kind of always wanted to write a book about somebody with a disability, but I wasn't thinking about somebody with a disability in his situation with muscular dystrophy. I was thinking about somebody that maybe was blind, or somebody that couldn't hear, or, you know, somebody was paralyzed from a car accident. I was thinking like that. So anyway, he gave me his phone number, and I said, give me your number. I signed his book, and he left. I told him to call me, and he started calling me, you know what I mean? And he didn't really call me a lot. He called me like maybe once every 2 weeks. He would call me and ask me, and I would brush him off. He would wait about another 3 weeks, and he would call me, and I would brush him off. And then he just kept calling me. I said, let me get rid of this damn fucking guy in this fucking chair. Let me get rid of him once and for all, because I knew he was living in Hackensack. I was living in Patterson. So I was like, listen, meet me in, I think I was in college then. I was like, meet me at Passaic County Community College, like 7 o'clock at night or whatever, in the cafeteria or wherever. So, you know, I'm going to the school already. So, you know, I get out my class, and I'm going out. And, and never in a million years am I expecting him to be there. You know what I mean? He disabled. He in a wheelchair. He don't drive. It's nighttime. And, I leave out of there, I walk downstairs, and who I see sitting right in front of the cafeteria but Dre. So now I got to sit down, I got to have a fucking conversation with him. We conversate, blah, 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 whatever, whatever. I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm going to make this happen. He go back, he called me like in another 2 weeks, and I tell him to meet me somewhere else. I can't remember, downtown or somewhere, meet me somewhere. And damn it, he showed up again. And I always been a person, I know when somebody wants something. You know when somebody in the world wants something. And anyway, we met, we started talking, and that was the day that something clicked in my brain. And I said, you know what? Maybe he got something here. And I set up an appointment. I said, I'm going to come to your house. So I started going to his house on the weekends in Hackensack. Every Saturday and Sunday, I would go there with a notebook and a pen. That's the gift I got from God. And I just tell him to start talk. Furthest he can remember, I said, go back far as you can remember and just talk. And I just took notes, maybe 6 hours, 7 hours. Saturday, 6-7 hours on Sunday, we would sit there and drink and smoke and eat Chinese food and stuff. And that went on for months. And I'm going to wrap this up real fast because I don't want to kill all the time. And then it came a time when he started telling me different things. And I used to tell him, and I used to be angry. I used to be like, yo, man, I only write the truth. I don't write lies. Because he was telling me all these extraordinary things, like hood stories, you know what I mean? Like, because he was in the project 7 years. He's like, yo, man, I really did that, you know, I really did him. I know he ain't gonna want me to say it, so I'm not gonna say it. But, I really did this when I was in the projects. You know, I had this, I was doing that, I was doing this, I was doing that. And then I would be mad as hell, and I'd be like, yo, in my mind, because I'd be like, man, this guy ain't do this shit that he telling me that he did. He ain't live like this in the projects. He wasn't doing all that. And I would argue with him, and I would tell him, yo, man, listen, I'm not going to write nothing in my book. I don't write fake stuff. I don't write fake stuff. And he would tell me, I'm not lying. I'm telling you the truth. So I seen he told me about this girl that was his next door neighbor in the projects, and I knew her. So I seen her one day. Her name was Queen Divine. And I said, Queen, I said, yo, you know Andre Williams? She said, hell yeah. I like a brother, you know, we was next door neighbors in the projects. I said, Queen, this nigga been telling me some crazy stories about, you know, girls and you know, just different shit in the projects, you know what I mean? And things he was doing in the projects, you know, that go on in the projects. And she looked me in the eye. She said, Jay, whatever he tell you, he ain't lying. I was like, what? It's like, man, Drake kept bitches at his house. That was what she said. So I'm just saying what she said. Drake kept bitches at his house. Yeah, Dre used to do this. Yeah, Dre was getting money, and Dre was doing this, and Dre was doing that. And I just sat there with my mouth open, and I'm like saying, damn, all this shit he was telling me was true. So with that being said, that lets you know, as good as the Andre Williams story that I wrote, as good as that book is, that's the best-selling book I wrote out of all my books. It sold thousands and thousands of copies of that book. As many copies as I wrote, and it's 5 stars on Amazon or 4.5 stars, and we never got a bad review. We done traveled all over the world doing book signings to Connecticut, Atlantic City, PA. I mean, yeah. Philly, different places doing book signing. As many places as we travel promoting that book, the main thing that I always say in my mind is that, damn, if I would have just wrote the shit he really would tell me, that book would be 100 times better than it is, because it's the watered-down version. It's the watered-down version because I didn't believe nothing that he was telling me. That he was saying about the book. So everybody out there, you got the watered down version. And trust me, everybody should read this book. And I'm not just saying it because I wrote it. The Andre Williams story. And it's on Amazon, but you can get it from me or him cheaper and faster. You know what I mean? Yeah, somebody said part two coming soon. Yeah, he's been trying to get me to write a part two for the longest. we might have to work on that. But anyway, that was the story of that book. And me and him just been friends since that 2013 or 12, you know what I mean? He acted in my movie, The Bottom. It's on YouTube. He was in my movie, Stolen Dream, I believe. Was he in Stolen Dream?
Yeah.
Stolen Dream.
Yeah.
He was in... Was you in 16 Bars?
No.
He edited it. If he wasn't acting in it, he was editing it. Or if he wasn't editing it, he was helping me direct it. He was in what other movie you was in of mine? One more. Can't really remember now the other movie.
Brother Thomas.
Who?
Brother Thomas.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. He actually starred in a movie of mine called A Brother's Promise. Y'all got to go on YouTube and look up some of these movies that I wrote that Dre's in. A Brother's Promise, Stolen Dream, or The Bottom. It's really, you wouldn't really believe it, some of the stuff that he in. You got to go on YouTube. But look, I'm going to take one caller real fast because I wanted to do something before we end the show. Let me see. I'll see. Take one caller. Brother, you on the line real fast?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. What's going on, man? What's going on?
What's going on?
Nothing much.
What's going on, James Brain?
You know I always got to bring you in real quick. We running out of time. But anyway, everybody. This my man Forrest. You know, he got the show coming out tomorrow night. Y'all really need to tune in tomorrow to his show. It's the same phone number, but it's at 7 o'clock, and it's called Grown Folks Talking, Express Yourself. Last week, he had a Dr. Wallach on, And that was like a show. We had so many callers on the line, and it really was a good show. So the show is really picking up speed. So you got to come on the show and check out Forrest Nance. I call it Forrest Nance and Friends, but it's the name of it is Grown Folks Talking. Express Yourself. You know what I mean? Can you tell me real quick who you got on the show tomorrow?
Yeah, well, believe it or not, well, I got Gayla Gibson out of Paterson, New Jersey. The lady gives health tips to the ladies out there for women's health, but also mm-hmm. guys too. And also I got a brother coming in. My man is named George O. All right, and he sings, and he's from Atlanta. And I may have Miss Crystal Allen coming on from people who have you were talking about, people with disabilities, blind or visually impaired. She should be coming on with a report, and then we're going right into Dr. Joe Wallach. But let me say this. I'm going to skip ahead a week. On the 19th, we got Dr. Reverend Valentine, Phil Valentine.
Oh, wow.
This brother's deep, man, real deep. He talks about the metaphysical. His wife is in the essential oils and holistic eating, and then he's in Florida now, him and his wife, but they used to be in Brooklyn. And he used to have study groups at his house in Brooklyn. And when you walked in his house, he had a great big pyramid in the middle of his dining room, in his study, rather. And they used to all sit around, and they got into some deep, the Sphinx. He's going to talk about the jab, about what effects it has on your body. This COVID shot, man, brothers. Hey, Jay, the guy's deep, brother. I'm trying to tell you. I listened. He had a 3-hour podcast, and I was listening. I kicked my feet up. I made a smoothie. I didn't fall asleep on this, but that's how impactful he was. So that's all I'm asking. But tomorrow's going to be nice. It's going to be nice tomorrow, you know. And, of course, Dre's been tuning in because now Dre's up. What'd you up to, 20 push-ups now, Dre? When I met Dre, he was doing 5. He's up to 20 now listening to the health program. I'm proud of you, Dre. You've been following the protocol, brother. He gave up all that, all that pizza.
And drinking the green tea. And the green tea.
Yeah, he gave up eating that pizza out there.
I got to go because we only got like 5 minutes. I just wanted to bring y'all in. This is my man, Forrest. He always support me every week he on the show. You know what I mean? And I want y'all to tune into his show tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Same phone number. 7 o'clock is sure. I can't say much more about it. It's the health is your wealth, as far as I'm concerned. Show, but look, I'm gonna talk to you tomorrow, man. Thanks for being on the line. All right.
Oh, no problem. You know, I had to listen. You brought Dre in. I was here for the whole 2 hours. The brother's deep, man.
Yeah,
my man Dre. I got to interview him, man. I'm gonna have to interview Dre one day, man. Let him come on with his high prices.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, I appreciate it. All right.
All right. I'm going to talk to you tomorrow. Thanks a lot, man, for coming on.
Anytime, brother.
Yeah, Dre, we gonna wrap this up, but I got a treat for everybody before, because I didn't get to tell you, Dre is more than just a actor, a program director, a songwriter, anything. You know what I mean? He actually raps and he makes music. You know what I mean? And I want to end the show playing one of his songs if I could find it out here. It got to be out here somewhere. Where is it at? Oh, okay, I see it. Okay, it's a long form. We might don't get to hear the whole thing, but it's up to you. All right, Dre, anything you want to say before we sign out and play this last song by you? Anything you want to say?
I just want to say thank you very much for listening. Shout out to all my people, Dean Miller, Cowboy, and the whole West Coast, North Dakota, and my mom, my cousin, Dirk, anybody, man. I love y'all, man. We out here, okay?
All right, that's my man Dre. If y'all want to get it, anybody need any dope videos, you be seeing my flyers. Everybody see my flyers. They all done by Dre. My flyers for the weekly show, they done by Dre. You know, inbox me or hit them up at Humble X Visions. If you need video to promote your brand or your company, you need flyers, Anything you need, Dre is the man for that. You know what I mean? And I'm sorry we're running out of time, but I mean, I hope everybody enjoyed the show. It calmed me down. And we're gonna leave out of here with a song that Dre made years ago. And I always ask him about this song. He always trying to let me hear other things, but this is the one song that sticks and means a lot to me because it signifies to me his life in a whole. And everybody, thanks for listening to the Keeping It Real with Jay Sean Online Radio Podcast. I'm going to throw my Cash App if you want to help me and Dre get this handicapped van, so we can go do this book signing in about 3 weeks. It's $75 for one day. So everybody know how to get in touch with me. Thanks a lot for the people who text me behind the scenes. Thanks for everybody listening. And here is Dreams Chaser by Andre Williams. Peace out.
Yeah, I don't know. What y'all niggas gonna learn? I'm in this shit to win it.
Oh, dream chaser. You got it in your pocket.
I'm the son of the single mother. I never think you never let the blood sit the karma. Her bar is so tight like a rubber brother. Your daddy can't handle your 18. Girl, you need a room at 13. Now you pushing your dream. The grind is game. It's sad. The Arabian is about me. It's the name. You don't take it to the game. Or to the next fight. I think this is insane. The only one you might. You look at the body. You might think of a curse. You look in the eyes, you pain and hurt. Lord, you know, five, but I'm putting my work. Yeah, you say you know how I feel? I don't think so. You say I'm fixing the deal. Man, you better go. I know you hurt me. So I'm gonna snap the plate. Burger in your real shit. Right before your fucking face. You're not stupid. Who needs the air? It's a low soul to it. Your life is tasting home. Don't do it. You don't wanna open the door. I'll burn through it. Treating life like a prayer. And make sense to it. Her legs in the air. It's not. I gotta screw it. If you say no sex to death, it's enough to do it. I'm fighting for that love. I don't need to abuse it. I prefer to be her friend. If she's ready to choose it. Can't promise you a dog or a kick and fix. For a thousand of cash, they don't need to fix. I can't bust me on the dirt, but I'm ready to break. Ain't no cases, so accuse of the wrong person of the rules. I'm up in that frame that baby, it ain't you. Got me seeing in the signs, I hope it ain't true. Can't take to see my girl in the eyes of the lady girl. Do you look at diet? I swear you'll be heavy with the way you really sit up there. Wait till my birthday. Talking her flat, this is this night. Did you wait? I'm a real brother, I'm a daddy. Sit on the tape, for the tape. Last, we tried to make it a tape. I'm a 60-minute man, now I'm even great. Hell, take the face. I tell it to her face. You can't handle this. I had her pass the word like an evangelist. Conversation too deep, I can feel there is a body. In fact, she attacked me, plastic. But in the day, it was 50-50-50 and nasty. Maybe trying to get through, she won't get past it all. Hey, you can go your way, and I can provide your mind. I'm gonna phone you, your boy Drake, dog. And you never hit the line. You put that in your mind, before you take that time. Get it in your hand, baby girl, I got a plan.
And you know me, I'm on the highway, taking destiny. You know what I'm talking about?